in the last year and a half, 2 years, we have had a significant shift that's taken place in how we think about ministry. And we used to ask this question, how can we reach more people? That's a great question. There's nothing wrong with that question. We should be concerned about reaching more people. But it led us to be internally focused. How can we build worship center bigger and better? So we started to ask some new questions. Questions like, how can we become more outward focused? What can we do to build God's kingdom? Because the thing is God's kingdom is advancing. Right? And then he asks us and he invites us into that. Would you like to be part of it? And we're saying yes. God's kingdom is wherever Jesus is king. Our role is to submit to his kingship and to participate in what he's doing. We have two focuses in the Matthew 25 project. One is to elevate the word of God and the other is to uphold the sanctity of life. So the Matthew 25 vision began, and it began with a bold, tangible question. The question was, what would it be like to give away $2 million in 2 years? We didn't set out for that goal just because it seemed like, man, that seems like an awesome big goal, and it'll be fun to rally around. Let's do it. Absolutely not. We said, what is the Lord asking us to do, and how can we be obedient to that? So we began. Not one penny is used internally. All of the money that's collected for Matthew 25, it goes outward to kingdom initiatives. Tony Lombardi in a little bit is going to be sharing an update of where those finances have gone. It's very, very exciting to see what the Lord has done. So to steward this vision well, we needed a strategic approach. We partner with proven and trusted organizations, and we prioritize partners who elevate the word of God and value the sanctity of life. The focus of these initiatives are to extend beyond the walls of worship center. So why the Matthew 25 project? You can go ahead and turn to Matthew 25 if you brought your Bible today. In Matthew 25, Jesus is talking, and he starts by telling some parables. The first is the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. This is a parable about urgency. He ends with a warning to keep watch, for we don't know the day of his return. It's an encouragement to live with the reality that Jesus is coming back in mind. And I think as a kid growing up in the church, when I would hear that, I would hear, he's going to come like a thief in the night. And that makes me like tense yet passive. Like, is it now? I guess I'll just sit here and wait. And I remember thinking last week when Pastor Matt brought our attention to the fact that the bride prepares herself, that we have an active role right now and right now to prepare for Jesus' coming. It reminded me of Psalm 90:12. It says this, "Teach us to realize the brevity of life, that we gain a heart of wisdom." Another translation says, "Teach us to number our days." And I was thinking about the people who heard Jesus say this firsthand, and then all the generations who've heard it since. And probably, like all of us, they thought, I bet it'll be in my lifetime. I bet Jesus will return. I hope he returns in our lifetime. And I hope that. But for everybody so far in all those generations, it hasn't happened quite yet. But you know what has happened? In every single generation, people have understood the brevity of life. Our days on earth have a finite number, and we have a kingdom purpose to fulfill. This is a parable about urgency. The second parable, the parable of the three servants, this is a parable about stewardship. This is kind of the crux. Jesus says this in verse 23. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." This is just like Pastor Matt just said. The reward for faithful stewardship is more responsibility. This is a parable about stewardship. What do we do with what God has entrusted to us? And then finally, it's the story of the final judgment. We're going to pick up in verse 31 and read what Jesus said. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. So why the Matthew 25 Project? Because there is a call on the church to live with urgency, because Jesus is coming back and we have a kingdom purpose to fulfill. Because we have a responsibility to steward well what has been entrusted to us. And because there is a mandate to live generously. Today we are bringing an update on the Matthew 25 Project. Like I said before, God's kingdom is advancing continually, and he allows us to be part of it. These are the stories of what the Lord has done. So first we are going to hear from Tony Lombardi. Tony is a Worship Center board member. He's been on our board for about 3 years. He leads the Matthew 25 Project team, and he's going to give us an update on all of the finance. So please welcome Tony.
Thank you, Heather, and thank you, Matt, for such a great introduction. It's such a pleasure to be here in front of you this morning. I think it's still morning. And be able to share with you what's going on with the Matthew 25 Project. It's such an amazing thing to see the Holy Spirit working among our team to bring unity and consensus, and to even bring those ministries in front of us that are worthy of your support. So it's been a great thing. I really appreciate the rest of the team. So far in our giving, if you remember, we had a set a goal of $2 million in 2 years. So here we are 8 months into the first year, and our giving is about $1.3 million. So we're ahead of the game. Absolutely. So from last September to this April, you've donated $1.3 million. If I continue that pace, so take that 8 month pace and project that out to the full 2 year plan that we were considering, it's about $3.3 million. So that's an amazing way that you've contributed financially to the Matthew 25 Project. But just as importantly, a number of folks, even without me knowing and without the team knowing fully, people have donated apartments, and you'll hear some stories about that, cars, they've sponsored events, they've established support communities, and other things have happened. So it's really not just the money, and it's really not about the money. It's about being the hands and feet of Jesus as well, and you've stepped up to do that. So praise him for making that happen. At our last update, I gave you a financial update at the time, and I'll do that again. And then at this time, we're also saying that we're going to invest in a number of new ministries. So the ones we've talked about before, Align Life Ministries, Keystone Family Alliance, Bridge of Hope, Illuminations, CV Seeds, and Unto, Pack Hope. We've invested more in them as well as their needs have changed and come to our attention. But there are new ones, so let me talk to you about the new ones that we'll be supporting going forward. The first is Target Ministries. Target Ministries produces and distributes language-specific Bibles to parts of the world that are very, very difficult to penetrate, and that is in Eastern Asia and a number of areas in Eastern Asia. They also have, they run Bible schools, and for them to run a Bible school is a USB drive and a projector, less than $200, they can run a Bible school. And so they've done a number of those, and our part of our contribution to them will be to continue that, funding those Bible schools the way they're running them. WEPA for Jesus is a ministry from Worship Center. Kevin and Kritzia Rivera have a food truck that they take around to the homeless and feed them for free. And what we will do through Matthew 25 is to convert that food truck into another food truck that is actually a commercial grade kitchen. so they can do so much more with that on wheels. One of the great things about their ministry is they go find homeless people because they're everywhere. They're not just around Water Street. They're not just in the middle of Lancaster. They're everywhere. So Kevin and his team are just a phenomenal move of the Holy Spirit to work in their lives and in their ministry. We will be supporting two church plants. One of them is Impact Churches Movement, and you'll hear from them. They're here this morning. They will be planting churches in the Balkans. And by the Balkans, I mean Albania, Kosovo, and even Italy. And so other than Italy, which is its own unique challenges, the Balkans are very Muslim. And so to plant churches in that region is extremely difficult. But we find, and they'll say, the word of God is amazing in how it reaches out and touches people in that community. The other one we'll be supporting is an organization called Club 1040. And they are planting a church in Lebanon, the country, not Lebanon, the county. And that church is actually on the eastern side of Lebanon, which means it's near Syria. And they have various inns to the Syrian population as well. And you know, that's a very difficult region of the world to touch for Jesus. But the fact that we have more hands and feet out there doing it is a phenomenal praise to the Lord himself. We'll be supporting a missions organization, a global missions organization, ServeNow, and we'll be doing two things for ServeNow. One is we will be providing bicycles for pastors who have remote ministries in challenging parts of Africa, I'll say. So right now they minister by foot, it's their means of transportation, which gives them a limited range with which they can have congregations and minister to folks. And with bicycles, not only can they expand the reach, but they can expand the geographic footprint that they serve. And in these very remote areas, the bicycles are actually reinforced with rebar, because as you can imagine, the roads really aren't that great. The other thing we're doing with ServeNow is they produce discipleship materials. So folks who either have a Bible for the first time or don't have a Bible and don't really understand Christianity, these are discipleship books that are kind of simplified topics of Christianity so that people can understand what they're reading in the Bible at another level, and it helps them to grow in their maturity of knowing the word. And then lastly this morning, I'll call it YWAM Mexico, it's Inarco, Inalco. So in Inalco, in that ministry, what we're doing is we're building homes that actually have like a concrete floor and a structure and a roof. And so there are folks that live in these communities that live in substandard housing, I think is the way to say it. And so to go from the substandard housing to a real home, and that's something we can fund, it's just an amazing ministry. And so we've committed, it's interesting because to build a home takes a week and less than $20,000. So we've come through and we said, okay, let's build four. And so that will, you know, we'll hear from those folks today as well. So far, as part of the Matthew 25 project, we've distributed about $684,000, and that was from September when we started through April of this year. So that's 8 months in, $685,000. From September through August, which is the first full year of Matthew 25, we're projecting to spend just under $1 million. So we said we wanted to spend $2 million in 2 years. We now know how we're going to spend the first $1 million. The Illuminations project, where we're translating an entire Bible into the Pattani Malay people of southern Thailand, that will go on. That was a 3-year commitment, a total of about $800,000. So we're spending your money, I think, wisely, and for the great purpose of expanding the kingdom in a number of different ways. So while that financial support is incredibly appreciated, and our team is just in awe of how this is happening, it's really the Lord doing an amazing work through you to reach people who are unchurched, that don't know Jesus, and to make that happen in their lives. So three things quickly. The Matthew 25 website, under Worship Center, there's Matthew 25 site that is being updated, and we will continue to keep that updated with the total giving as well as our total plan for what we plan on donating to various ministries. Every month, the second Sunday of the month, we have a prayer meeting, and that is in the prayer room. If all of you went, we would accept that problem. Sue Drasba leads that. She's not here this week. You can get in touch with Heather or talk to me. I'd be happy to point you in that direction. And all the partners send in prayer requests, and we dedicate the time to lifting all of them up. And then lastly, we're not stopping. So we're anticipating that the average giving to date will increase. And so you guys have been so great about this whole thing. We're just really excited about what the Lord will continue to do in this project. And we have a list of really, really amazing ministries that we're still looking at supporting over time. So thank you very much for that. I appreciate your attention on this. And I'd like to introduce Caleb Simmers. Caleb is the executive director of Bridge of Hope in Lancaster County. He's one of our current partners. And so he's here to give you an update on what's going on with Bridge of Hope. So please welcome Caleb.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I told the first crowd, it almost feels a little bit like a homecoming for me. I have made so many friends over the years here that on my way here this morning, I was thinking of the different people I was going to get to see and get to connect with. And so that's special to me. I do this a lot. I speak at a lot of churches, but I have a lot of connections here that mean a lot to me. So thank you for being the congregation that I really look forward to being with when I get a chance to be here. It's a much, much nicer day. Last time I was here, it was about 20 degrees and snowing. So there were people outside trying to figure out snow and removal and getting everything ready for you guys. Today I walked in and the birds were singing. The sun was shining. So it was a beautiful day to be with you this morning. At Bridge of Hope, we work to help families who are facing homelessness here in Lancaster County. We engage Christian faith communities in ending family homelessness through neighboring relationships that demonstrate Christ's love. And so what that means is when a family comes into our program that's facing homelessness, they're not only given a professional case manager that gives them the tools and the resources to obtain and sustain housing, but they're also connected with 6 to 8 volunteers from a local church in their school district that are committed to walk alongside them in community for about a year to a year and a half that they're in our program. Relationships are core to our work. We believe that nobody can go at it alone. We cannot flourish and thrive alone in this world. We have to have a network and a support in our community. And so you might want to write this down in your insert. We believe firmly that no one was ever created to be our project, but everyone needs to be known and loved in community. And what a privilege and honor it is to walk alongside families in community for them to allow us to be a part of their lives and to introduce us to their children. And it's the invite to the church of how can we love our neighbors? How can we walk alongside them? Matthew 25 is kind of broken up into 3 specific ways. There's financial, relational. I just blanked out. And prayer. It's right there. I should just look down. It's right there. I want to give you updates kind of in those 3 worlds as we're moving forward. So financially, some quick updates. Last night, 2 families, 7 kids slept underneath a roof that you literally purchased, not figuratively, but literally. There was a duplex that needed a new roof. You guys paid for that roof, and then we were able to move those families into that housing. They had spent a year in domestic violence transitional shelters. And last night they had a warm place to call home thanks to the worship center. So thank you. The primary project that you are funding is a partnership that we're calling the Bridgeport Project. And that is going to be new constructed units here in Conestoga Valley School District. Those will be built and then case managed by Conestoga Valley Seeds and Bridge of Hope. So all the families living there will be going through our programs. And that partnership is Conestoga Valley Seeds, Bridge of Hope, Chestnut Housing, and Forest Hills Mennonite. And you guys have come alongside Bridge of Hope to help carry that our portion of being a part of that partnership. And recently there was some exciting, only in my world is this exciting, maybe some of you, there's exciting news at the township around zoning. For us, it's exciting. It's going to allow us to move forward in construction without having a lot of major variances to apply for, meaning we will be breaking ground and building by this time next year. We're very excited about that. Also financially, one of your members, I didn't get permission to shout out his business last time, just said, hey, I have a flooring company. If there's ever any needs you guys have, he didn't know at that point in time I had to rip out carpet and tile in a house that we had acquired that needed a complete facelift. And he came through and not only donated it, but installed and donated the labor. Just a beautiful contribution. And it's something that your church continues to do. After the last service, I had a mechanic come up, a drywaller come up, a general contractor come up and say, how can I lend my services? Because they're not mechanics and drywallers. They're mechanics that follow Jesus. They're Christian drywallers. And these are the gifts and the skills God gave me. How can I lend them to our community? So thank you for being that type of congregation. Relational impact. We had our spring gathering here. You guys hosted that. One of the members of your church catered and donated and fed all of our families. We had a financial seminar just across the hallway. And part of that evening, we had a dance team come through, a Christian dance team that did interpretive dance to worship music. And there was one of our kids was sitting there, and at the end of it, he went up to the organizer of the dance team and asked for the playlist of the music, the worship music that he had just experienced and listened to. He went home and he added all of those songs to his playlist and deleted all the songs that had what he felt were negative communication and swearing and things that he felt were dragging him down. And he recently told his case manager he met God during the music and dance time that was just across the hallway here just a couple weeks ago. It's really beautiful. Thank you for hosting that. Thank you for serving that. Hopefully we never get tired of the one. There's a whole three parables, a whole chapter of the Bible. Luke 15 talks about the one and the party that happens. And it's not like a little party. It's like a party, like they're getting at it. End of the book, or end of Luke 15, they say you can hear the party from out in the field. So like it's a party that happens every time there's a one, and that one happened here thanks to your work. We have a group that is currently walking with a family. That family also, I spoke to their case manager Tuesday, and they just expressed your group hosted them. They had a meal. Mom had created a dish from her culture and brought it to like a little bit of a potluck. But they just are already saying how their experience with your church has already been an added benefit to their life, that the positive benefit is already reaping benefits for them. They feel seen, they feel loved, they feel connected. And so we appreciate that relational work that your church is also doing. Now I'll update you on the need. All that was fun stuff. The need is 39% increase in families facing homelessness in the last year. It's a 17-year high for Lancaster County. And that's hard and that's heavy. And we'll continue to get up every day and do for one what we wish we could do for everyone. And what Bridge of Hope's goal is we serve 28 families this last year. We want to increase that by 30% over the next 3 years with the housing that we have coming online, with some of the financial support, we're hoping to grow that. We've had some recent graduations and we have some really great success stories, but in that, we have three openings for families. We need that 18 to 21 volunteers to sign up to walk alongside families. We could serve three families as soon as we get those groups recruited and trained. So you could be in prayer for that. You could be in prayer for the need. I know you're writing these down because you already wrote down our earlier. You have your pen and paper ready. And then the other thing you could pray for is vehicles. We've had an increased need in vehicles over the last 8 months. That's been more than we've experienced in the last 4 or 5 years. And what that means specifically is we have a mom that's living in Paradise. And if she wanted to get a job in Intercourse or Bird in Hand, Intercourse is a 6-minute drive for you and I. We jump in our car and we just drive up there. For her with no vehicle, she has two options. One, it's an 1-hour and 8-minute walk, according to Google Maps this morning. Or she could take the bus. And the bus is is an 1 hour and 40 minutes round trip. So it's into the city, out the Bird in Hand. And so just a vehicle could save a mom literally 2 hours a day just trying to get to work, just trying to provide for her family. And so that mechanic earlier today. He said, if somebody donates a car, it's going to need some work. Let me do the work. The beautiful thing is that you guys just find the ways that you can support a family and you continue to show up and you continue to do that. So thank you. Our tagline for this year is Hope Can't Wait. And we're operating out of Proverbs 13:12. And it says, hope delayed makes the heart heavy, but hope fulfilled is a tree of life. Thank you for being a tree of life for not only folks in Conestoga Valley School District, but across Lancaster County, working with families with Bridge of Hope. So thank you.
Thank you, Caleb. Like Tony said, we are going to continue our partnership with Bridge of Hope and Align and Keystone and all the partners that we've already developed relationship with. That is going to continue, and we are introducing some new partners today. So both of the new partners that we're going to hear from today are longtime Worship Center global partners, and our regular monthly partnership with them continues, and these are separate Matthew 25 initiatives that we are taking on as well, and we are going to hear about them today. I'm really excited to welcome Tony and Ida Lupucci to the stage, please.
Thank you, Heather. Good morning, everyone. So great to be here this morning, and so grateful for the opportunity that we can worship Christ together. I think with what I just said, you understand that there is an accent in my language, and I was very jealous of Caleb that his English is just perfect. And it's kind of challenging now to share what we want to share with an accent in my English. But anyway, we are so grateful to be here this morning. And I want to start by saying thank you to Worship Center for the faithfulness and the support that have been sending toward us and our ministry through the years, for the great impact that has had in our church planting ministry in the Balkan region, but at the same time, with the impact that it has had in our personal lives and our family. I love Worship Center because Worship Center know how to care for their global partners or missionaries, and we are the ones that benefit from that. So thank you very much for doing that. This morning, we will share briefly about the partnership with Matthew 25, and I will let my wife start that.
It is a joy to share what God had done in our life and how He is working through us. As Tony say, we are from Albania, and we grew up in a Muslim family, and we got to know Christ when we were teenager. But we hear the gospel for first time in a small church in our town that was planted by a missionary from America. Somebody from America got called him from here to come in our small town, being faithful and share the gospel with people and share the gospel with us, and we got to know Christ through him, and he was faithful with the gospel, and this is our heart, my heart and my husband's heart, to bring the gospel in the cities in Albania where is no church, and in a city in Kosovo where is no church. This is our heart, to bring light in the city where is no light, when Jesus is not worshiped, with that people to have opportunity to have to hear the gospel. As he was faithful and we hear the gospel, as somebody had been faithful with you, because you are here because somebody was faithful with you, share the gospel. And this is our heart, to share the gospel and the gospel of Jesus Christ, to bring it in those places where he is not known.
Yes, we've been involved in church planting ministry since 2011. That's where we started in church planting. And when we started the first church plant, our heart was to continue planting more churches. And when we started the first church plant, when you start a church, the first prayers are, Lord, bring the people and save them. Save the Muslims, save. And that was our prayer. Lord, the same that you did for us, you gave us the opportunity to hear the gospel at this church that was planted by the missionary. Lord, do the same. Bring the people and so that we can share the gospel with them and we can teach them about you. And we have seen that happening and taking place. Many people have come to know Christ through that first church plant that we did and growing the relationship with Christ. And then after the church was growing and the church planting ministry was growing, we start praying, Lord, now that you are growing your church and your ministry, grow, raise up leaders that we can train them, equip them, and then send them out to plant other churches. And guess what? He's faithful and he did that. He raised leaders. We came to a point, the last year, we came to a point where we have more leaders that are trained and ready to go and plant churches than we have the capacity to send them out. So that's the place, that's the time when we came to Matthew 20, 25, and we sat with them and we shared our need and our heart that we said, you know, we have two church plants that are ready to move forward, but they don't have the finances to do that. So would you consider to help us plant these churches? And Matthew 25, they start praying and they reach out to us and they said, yes, we want to support one of the churches that you are planting. And that was very exciting. That was very exciting and we were very encouraged that with Worship Center and the Matthew 25, we can plant a church in a city where there is no church, there is no gospel witness, there is no one to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So together, we can bring the hope of the gospel in a community where the need is so big, is so real, so needy, that neighborhood. So that's very encouraging for us. Now, when I got the good news that Matthew 25 want to support one of the church plans, the first thing that came in my mind is Jesus' conversation with Peter. When Jesus was talking with Peter in chapter 16, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, after Peter have said that when Jesus asked him, who do you think I am? And he said, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. And then Jesus told Peter, you are Peter. And on this rock, I'm going to build my church. There are two things that I take away from that verse. First is that we are not the one building his church. None of us. The verse says that very clearly. I will build my church. What that means is Jesus Christ today, here and around the world, he is building his church. And we give glory to him for that because we cannot do it. It is him who is reaching his people and bringing his people home. And second thing we learn in that is that Jesus tell Peter that I'm going to use you. You are the rock, but I'm going to use you to build my church. That means that Jesus is going to use all of us. He's going to give us all the opportunity to be involved in his mission of building his church so that all of us can be part of that. And Worship Center have been part of our church plans in the past. Worship Center is part of that right now, and we are thankful for that. Now, for your notes, for your bulletin, my sentence is, Jesus is building his church. And we got to be part of it. And I want to say this, what a privilege we have, what a responsibility at the same time, that he have called all of us to play a role in his mission of building his church. And all glory goes to him and to him alone. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. I don't know, Tony, I think even with an accent, a slight accent, we heard your message loud and clear. It's very inspirational. It's awesome. Thank you. All right, let's welcome to the stage longtime Worship Center Global Partners. They've been in missions for over 40 years. At least 30 of those have been at Worship Center, John and Elaine Allegretto.
Thank you, Heather. We also want to say thank you to the Matthew 25 team, Pastor William, and each one of you. Because of your investment and your obedience, many globally are being affected with the gospel. So thank you so much for your partnership. Today, Elaine and I are here to introduce an opportunity to invest in the nation of Mexico, building Homes of Hope. Homes of Hope is bringing hope to needy, hardworking families globally in the name of Jesus. Let me say that again, just you might want to take note. Homes of Hope is bringing hope to needy, hardworking families globally in the name of Jesus. Homes of Hope has been building homes now for the poorest of the poor in 27 nations with over 130,000 volunteer participants. Homes of Hope is a part of Youth with a Mission and was founded or started on the border in Tijuana, Mexico. Today, we're here to represent Homes of Hope Mexico and our work with YWAM, Youth with a Mission, Analco, which is located in the mountains of Durango, Mexico. Let me give you a few numbers. In Mexico, more than 52% of the population live below the national poverty line. 20% of homes, that's almost 5.5 million, exist in inadequate conditions. 1.1 million homes, they have no floors. Their walls and their roofs are constructed with flimsy material like pallets and tin and tarp and plastic, which you'll see here in just a moment. Helping those less fortunate helps leverage people out of poverty, and it gives hope for a better future with a small home, debt-free. Worship Center, along with YWAM Homes of Hope, has an amazing opportunity to build homes with YWAM Analco in Durango, Mexico, providing families with adequate shelter, a home that is safe and dry, a clean house that helps them to stay healthy, allowing their small income to be used to purchase much-needed resources for their family, such things as education and other necessities.
Well, it is a joy to be able to share this with all of you today. And it's a joy to share a couple stories with you. The Lord led Youth with a Mission Analco ran across the path of a couple, Arturo and Esther, and they were both blind. Both of them had had illnesses that left them blind. They were not able to get the health care they needed. So they started a relationship, got to know one another, and through the course of time, they were able to qualify for a Homes of Hope house. Esther had 30% vision in one of her eyes, so she was able to help her husband get around. They tried to work, but Durango wasn't particularly friendly to those with disabilities. They couldn't offer them much, so they sold some candy from the place where they lived. When Esther and Arturo realized that they were going to be able to get a new home, you can only imagine. Can you imagine? Moving from the dirt and the tarps to cement floor in a real house. Kind of gets you, doesn't it? That's a pretty big thing. I think you would feel like you won the lottery to be able to see that happen. So they began doing discipleship classes and training. They received this information while YWAM Analco looked for a team to build them a house. It turned out a team from Germany came, 4 men, 3 women, and a handful of local Mexican volunteers from the area, and they built the home for Esther and Arturo. The day that they received the keys, Arturo was quite moved. He couldn't see it all, but he could feel it. He could feel the sofa. He knew that he was in a clean, dry place. He said, "Boy," in Spanish, I say it in English, "God must really love me." That's what you're doing here, showing people that God really does love them. Then we have the Martinez family. 7 people, 3 generations living in one home. Dirt floor, tarps, the same as the others. The circumstances were difficult, and the weekly income was $70, US dollars. It wasn't enough. It doesn't go far enough. Paula, the 50-year-old single mother that lives there, had met YWAM with her daughter and her 2 granddaughters as they were participants in YWAM's Saturday morning breakfast ministry. So they'd go and get a hot breakfast, music, the gospel, Bible, laughter, and delicious food. And that's how they came to know YWAM and were exposed to what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. Paula also has 2 sons. One, Jose Miguel, is 26 years old. He works as a bricklayer. Juan Jose, 20 years old, also works as a bricklayer. At 17 years old, he married Valentina. And at the time of being qualified for a Homes of Hope house, Valentina was pregnant with their first child. They got a home, thank the Lord. YWAM and ELCO and Homes of Hope have brought possibilities of a brighter future to Paula, Jose Miguel, Juan Jose, Valentina, Paula, Jesus, Antonio, and many, many more. A Home of Hope in Durango, Mexico costs $19,290, including a furniture package. And as you've already heard this morning, as Worship Center Matthew 25, there is already money to build some homes. We're really, really excited about that. So now what we need to see happen are some teams raised up to come and build those homes. Do you think we have anybody around here that could do that? I think we do. The opportunity to build as a team is honestly a wonderful unity building event. It's amazing. Families come, youth groups come, Bible studies come, you name it. This can be a multi-generational project as well. Skilled workers are really welcome, but you know what? You don't have to be skilled. You don't have to be. Anybody can contribute. Each member of the team has the opportunity to live out our own faith in Jesus and our own values. And you know, reaching out like this, you and I become more aware and informed of the conditions and needs outside of our own world, right? We all live in our own world, and sometimes we don't fully understand what all is out there around the rest of the world. It's truly a way to love others in the name of Jesus. This home build takes 1 week. 1 week for an opportunity to have a very different living situation. We're happy to share that Worship Center will be building Homes of Hope in Durango, Mexico. The first will be in the spring of 2027. Would you want to be a part of building one of these Homes of Hope? Please pray to see if there's any part of this for you. There's opportunity for 10 to 15 people on each team. It truly is a sacred privilege to bring hope to needy, hardworking Mexican families in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John and Elaine, and thank you to Tony, and to Tony and Ida, and to Caleb, to all the speakers today. After the service, they will be out in Center Square if you want to go and ask questions or learn more, find out how you can be involved, sign up for a trip, whatever you want to do. They'll be out there in Center Square. But let's take a minute to pray for the requests they brought. Would you stand to your feet, please? Lord, we thank you for this amazing opportunity you've given to us to partner with what you're doing all around the world and right here at home. God, I pray that we would be aware of that, and we would be thankful for that, and we would be stirred up to continue to pursue your kingdom and what you're up to. God, I thank you for Bridge of Hope. I thank you for their heart to house people who need homes and to not just give a house, but to give a walk alongside approach where people can learn how to be self-sustainable in the surrounded by community. And in those communities, they are introduced to you and their whole lives can be changed. So we're so thankful for that. God, we pray that you would provide more houses, that you would provide more care communities, that you would provide the vehicles that are needed. God, we ask that every need would be met. God, we thank you for Tony and Ida, for the Lipushis and the work that they are doing in the Baltic region. God, we echo their prayer. Lord, would you save the Muslims? Would the Holy Spirit reveal Jesus to them? They may come to a life-changing relationship with you. That an entire area of the world might be changed. We thank you so much for that, Lord. We pray your blessing on this church plant. God, we thank you for John and Elaine, for the Allegretos, for YWAM Mexico and the Homes of Hope Initiative. I thank you that homes can be built as a practical way to value life. That people can have a home, and in that they know Jesus really loves me. What an amazing testimony to what you do and the different ways you reveal yourself. Pray your blessing on it. Pray that those who need homes would have homes. Pray for those who are going to build them, God. Pray that you would ignite a fire for that, right, even right now. Lord, I'm so, so thankful. God, we thank you that you allow us to be part of what you're doing. You come alongside and you prompt and you lead, and our job is to obey. We're so thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to close by reminding us of these words in Hebrews 13. For this world is not our permanent home. Yay. For this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Therefore, that means because we just read that, because we know that's true. Because of that, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. If by some chance you're still taking notes, number four, don't forget to do good. You know, all throughout the Revelation series, Pastor Matt has reminded us that we do not have the opportunity to remain indifferent to Jesus. He actually demands our allegiance. When I was in the third grade, my dad was my teacher, and he made every kid in our school who went to his third grade class learn what this means. When we would say the Pledge of Allegiance every day, we would say, I pledge means I promise. Allegiance means to be true. And then we would continue. I pledge means I promise. I promise to be true to the name of Jesus. That's what we're saying when we say we are allegiant to him. We promise to remain true to his name.